Whenever I look at my calendar and see an approaching date when I'm to be with Dr. and Mrs. Leithley and the church family of the Bible Baptist Church, I always say in my heart, Dr. Leithley, I can't wait. I can't wait. I have to be very transparent in telling you that there are some times that I look at my calendar and see an approaching date and say in my heart, I can wait. But this is a preacher and a people that I mean from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I have great regard and great respect for. And so I'm excited, elated to be here, and looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in these days that have been set aside for revival. God is in the revival business. You'll probably hear me say that a number of times this week, but God is in the revival business. And what He has done in the past and on the pages of the Bible, He's interested in doing in the present. Now, we don't want to have just another meeting. We don't want to have just another series of services. But we long and would love to see God show up and God show out. And I'm just absolutely anticipating and anxious in what I believe the Lord is going to do in these days set aside for revival. Before I left my motel room this morning, I prayed and I asked the Lord to revive my heart these days. And yesterday, before I got on a plane in Nashville to wing my way back to Detroit, I prayed that God would revive my heart this week. And home for just really a handful of hours, long enough to play with our four grandchildren. Boy, I'll tell you what, Mark Twain was right when he said, grandchildren are the blessing you receive for not killing your children. And always have time to play with the grandchildren. And got to see all four of them yesterday and play with them just a little bit. And as I was driving from Canton, Michigan, into Miesville, Ohio, I was praying along the way that God would revive my heart. Now, if someone who's in meetings like this every week of the world, if someone who's in meetings like this every week of the world is praying that God would revive their heart, would you not agree that you could stand in the need of some of it as well? That God would revive each and every one of us. As you're turning to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, I'll make mention of it more throughout the meeting, but Brother Leithley, we have a number of things that are brand new. I didn't really plan it this way, but this year, 2019, I'll have five different things published this year. I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of happened that way. And I've already gotten one thing. It's just really off of the press of the Sword of the Lord. And it's this little pamphlet entitled, 7 Reasons I Can't Become a Compromising Liberal. That's the title of it, 7 Reasons I Can't Become a Compromising Liberal. And there are some 80 plus, in this little booklet, 80 plus Bible verses referenced or written out. And if you were to take your Bible and take the time and go through it, you'd find reasons, there's 7 of them, but 80 Bible verses to back it up, plus why you can't be a compromising liberal. Now, I will tell you right up front, it is hard hitting. It is hard hitting. I won't give you the reasons, because then you won't buy the little pamphlet. But let me just give you number 4. Can I do that? Can I give you number 4? A reason of 7 that I can't become a compromising liberal is I don't want to look back and see where I've given a pass. I don't want to look back and see where I've given a pass. You know, compromise is an interesting thing. It's like a snowball. And the further it goes down a hill, the faster and the fatter it gets. And I don't want to look back in 5 short years and see where I've given a pass to putting a water slide in the baptistry or a bar in the fellowship hall. And so I just list reasons, I mean right out of the Bible, hard hitting, why I can't become a compromising liberal already. Just, it's been out 2 weeks, Dr. Lethley, already the response has been tremendous, and I hope that you'll get it. And then I don't think I had it, had this with me when I was here the last time, but it's the little booklet, Maxims for Young Ministers. And my intimate friend, Dr. Shelton Smith, the editor of the Sword of the Lord, asked if I would write a piece on advice for young preachers. And I took my Bible and wrote out 31 preacher proverbs, 31, that I've lived by these many years now that I've been saved and been in evangelism. Things like number 25, winners are never whiners. Winners are never whiners. I give you a Bible verse for that, and then I write on that thought. Things like number 14, if you can't play hurt, don't expect much game time. I give a Bible verse, and I write on that truth. Things like number 8, do yourself a favor and don't copy the bad or strange habits of good men. I give you a Bible verse and I write on that thought. You know, it's important to know the difference between a dimple and a pimple. And I think sometimes people copy pimples when they ought to be just paying attention to dimples. And so whether you're a preacher or not, there's principles that you can live by. You could be the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Principles that you can live by that I believe would be a great help. Book of Daniel, chapter number 1, and I'll take but one verse of scripture which will serve as a springboard for the thought that I want to try to drop and deposit in each and every one of our hearts. Daniel, chapter 1, and verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I want you to keep on the forefront of your thinking this morning. It's not a complete phrase, but it's part of a complete phrase. Those words, but Daniel purposed in his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. And in this Sunday school hour, I briefly want to speak on the subject, 7 decisions that I made as a young man, that I'm not miserable about as an older man. This is the month of March, and I begin celebrating my birthday. Mrs. Hamlin says that I don't have a birthday, I have a birth month. And on the 19th of this month, you may want to write that down. On the 19th, put it in the flyleaf of your Bible. The 19th of this month, I will turn 58 years old. I don't know, it's never happened to me before, but Dr. Lethley, all this year, I thought I was already 58. It's never happened to me before, but I jumped the gun a year, and I mean all year. People ask me how old I am, I say 58, and Mrs. Hamlin was with me in a conference, and a lady, 99 years of age, I think she was hitting on me, I really do. That was humor. I'm sorry you missed it. 99 years of age, just asked me how old I was, and I said, I'm 58. And Mrs. Hamlin, not in front of that dear lady, but when we were alone in the car, she looked at me and she said, by the way, you're not 58, you're 57. I said, no, I know how old I am. I am 58. She said, no, you're 57. I said, well, you weren't there when I was born. I was there when I was born, and I am 58. She said, all right, let's look at it. She took her phone out, went to the calculator, and said, what year were you born? I said, 61. She said, yep, 61. Plugged it into the calculator, and guess what? I said, you're right, dear. And so this whole year, I've been telling people I'm 58 when really I'm 57. And so it's played pretty well. I can't wait till next year. I'll do the same thing. But on the 19th of this month, I'll turn 58. And I'm glad that as a young man, I made certain decisions that I'm not upset about. I'm not angry about. I'm not miserable about as an older man. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to stand before a group of people with an open Bible to teach the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would truly be our Sunday school teacher. Give us spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and hearts that would be spiritual enough to respond to the good Word of God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. There are certain decisions and determinations that I made as a young man, still in high school, at the Inner City Christian High in Allen Park, Michigan, at 17 years of age, that I'm not depressed about on the brink of 58 years of age. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, we find an introduction to the personal history of one of the greatest men on the pages of the Bible. Brother Daniel. He would make an outstanding hero, role model, and example to anyone, no matter their age. Now, if we were to go around the auditorium this morning, and I were to ask you your age, I'm not going to, but you were to give me your age, I would say, well, I know somebody in the Bible ought to be your hero, and it would be Daniel. So it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your social standing, it doesn't matter where you are in the calendar of life. There is an example for all of us, and that would be the individual who's before us in Daniel 1 and verse number 8. C.I. Schofield said about this giant for God and good, in the polluted atmosphere of an oriental court, he lived a life of singular piety and usefulness. Now, Dr. Leithley, most Bible students believe that in Daniel 1 and verse number 8, Daniel was 15 years of age at the time. I wonder, do we have anyone in the adult Sunday school class that's 15? Is there anyone here that thank you, sir, I appreciate you lying like that, and we got one at the altar at least later in the morning. Here he was in Daniel 1 and verse number 8, and he's 15 years of age, and at 15, he there makes some decisions, he makes some determinations that would absolutely guide and govern the rest of his life. Friend, you and I make decisions today that will reach in to tomorrow. That's what's exciting about coming to church. You just never know how God's going to speak to your heart, and you just never know the decision that you're going to make, and you just never know how far-reaching that single decision will be. Now, quickly, I want to give you this morning seven determinations that I made at 17 as a young man that I'm not miserable about at 57 years of age. Quickly, let's notice them. Number one, I'm not sad that I decided to get saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. I'm not sad. I decided to get saved. That paramount decision affects my here and even my hereafter. I mean, think about it. The greatest day in your life was the day that you said no to Satan and yes to the Savior. And I mean, that single decision, I mean that single determination, when you said, I'm going to get saved, I'm going to trust Christ, I'm going to invite to heaven into my heart, when you made that decision, whether it was days or decades ago, well, look what it's done. I mean, we could take the rest of Sunday school, and we could take the rest of the morning service, and we could take all of the Sunday night service and just rejoice and just remember and just realize all God's done in our life because of that single important decision of getting saved. I'm not sad that I decided to get saved. Number two, I'm not sad that I decided to join the right church. 1 Timothy 3:15, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. A determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. I'm not sad. I decided to join the right church. The pillar and ground of the truth has kept me, and by the way, it's kept you, from believing in a whole lot of crazy stuff. Stuff like going to church on Saturday instead of Sunday. Stuff like believing that Jesus and the devil are brothers. Hello? Stuff like believing that somebody out in the woods the state of New York came upon some golden tablets and with some funny sunglasses read those golden tablets that nobody's ever seen. And I mean, you know what? Hey, because one day you and I decided to join the right kind of church, we're not riding on the crazy train that stops at every crazy station. I am so glad as a young man I decided to join the right church. Hey, because I decided to join the right church, I don't believe that I'm saved today and lost tomorrow. Would you turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes? I recall right after I got saved, I would say this is true, Dr. Leithley, with many new converts. But right after I got saved, I struggled a little bit with the assurance of my salvation. And maybe you didn't struggle with that. But often, there are a lot of, young converts that struggle with the assurance of salvation. And right after I got saved, there was just a short period that I struggled with it. And what helped me more than any other verse in the Bible was this verse. Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now, friend, I didn't get that verse at a coffee shop. I didn't get that verse watching a TV preacher or listening to a radio teacher. I didn't get that verse in a cell group, and I think a lot of those cell groups ought to be in jail. But I got that verse in a Wednesday night prayer meeting at the house of God. And as a new convert and as a young preacher, seeing that verse, Ecclesiastes 3:14, it absolutely settled what I believed about my salvation. I'm not sad that I decided to join the right church. Number three, I'm not sad I decided to surrender to preach. Luke 22:42, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. A determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. Number three, I'm not sad that I decided to surrender to preach. God's will, either in a pulpit or a pew, is the greatest place on planet Earth. God's will. I had a little bit of a busy week last week. I had three back to back to back early morning flights, so early. Well, in Philadelphia on Thursday morning, I was going down the runway at 5:40 a.m. Going down the runway, flying back to Detroit 5:40. I don't know about you, but there's certain hours on the clock that I think shouldn't come twice, but only once, and never with an a.m. behind them, a p.m. behind them. Last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all three early flights. Dr. Leithley, I spent more time in the air than a lot of birds. But I'm glad as I was going down that runway Thursday morning, flying from Philadelphia back to Detroit, I'm glad there's an assurance I'm in the will of God. I'm right in the middle of God's will. And then when I flew Friday morning early from Detroit to Nashville, there's that assurance I'm in the will of God. And then flying early yesterday morning from Nashville back to Detroit, there is that assurance of the will of God. And then driving from Detroit into Cambridge, Ohio, there's that assurance of the will of God. In fact, if you follow me on social media, you saw where yesterday I posted, I've had three cups of coffee in three states today. Tennessee, Michigan, and Ohio. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of coffee. Whether it's a pulpit or a pew, there's no better place for a child of God than in the center of the will of God. I'm not sad that I decided to surrender to preach. Number four, I'm not sad that I decided to date a godly girl. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. Number four, I'm not sad that I decided to date a godly girl. The one you date just might influence your future children, grandchildren, and you. That's how serious it is. That's how sobering it is. The one that you date could very influence your future children, grandchildren, and you. Boy, I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I'm not angry that I decided a long time ago to there date a godly girl. People don't believe this, Dr. Leithley. I know they don't. But this year we're marking 40 years in full-time evangelism. This year, that's hard to believe. But what they don't believe is that in that 40 years, Mrs. Hamlin has never, not one single time, said a negative word about me being gone all the time. Never has. I mean, I preach on my birthday. I preach on some holidays. Yesterday, I was only home for just a handful of hours, just enough time to unpack and pack and get on the road. And in these 40 years of being in evangelism now, not one time has she ever said a negative word. Not one time. She was with me in a meeting not too long ago, and a lady came to the book table and said, boy, I can just tell that you and Dr. Hamlin have a great marriage, and I'd like to know the secret of it. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'd like to know the secret too. And she said, what's the secret to it? And man, I thought for sure, and I acted like I wasn't listening, but man, I was tuned in. And I thought for sure she'd say, well, he's the greatest Christian I've ever known, and he's like being married to a Bible character. I mean, I just figured she'd say that. And she smiled and said, he's never home. He is never home. That's the reason we get along so well. But I am not sad. I am not depressed. I'm not miserable. You'll never find that I've written a blog where I'm ticked about, and by the way, Bible trumps Make America Great Again. Bible trumps blog every single time. I'm not sad that I decided to date a godly girl, number five. I'm not sad that I decided to make core convictions. Daniel 3:12, there are certain Jews have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. A determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. Number five, I'm not sad. I decided to make core convictions. Today's convictions will dictate tomorrow's course. A while back, I had a preacher call me, and he said, Dr. Hamlin, would you come and preach in my church? I'm having a camp meeting between Christmas and New Year's, and I'd like you to come preach for me. And I said, my brother, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody. You and I are friends. I said, but your church is part of a denomination that is steeped in compromise. And I said, I have screamed bloody murder all these years about that convention. And I said again, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody. But I can't go back on all the sermons that I've preached and the bloody murder that I've screamed in coming. Can't do it. I said, now you pull that thing out and I'll cancel something and come. But as long as you're involved in that compromising connection, I'm sorry, my brother, I can't come. Dr. Leithley, I didn't tell anybody about that. I didn't put a full page ad in USA Today. I didn't rent a billboard and announce it. I just kind of kept it to myself. And about 2 days later, another friend of mine called and said, hey, is it true that you turned down that opportunity to preach in that church, that camp meeting between Christmas and New Year's? I said, it is. He said, well, don't you realize how big the love offering is? And he said, now I know that people know your schedule and where you're at. He said, but just take that one under the radar. And by the way, there's no such thing as flying under the radar. Just as you think you're under the radar, brother, you are on the radar. He said, man, just fly under the radar, go in there, preach, leave, and it's a big love offering, and you could be a real help. And I said, my brother, listen, I decided a long time ago that there'll not be a price tag hanging on my sermons. You see, I am not sad. I am not miserable. I am not depressed that I decided to make some core convictions. And when I talk about convictions, I'm not talking about you not having a hula hoop in your home, or you not wearing white socks on Tuesday, any number of stupid things. I'm talking about real convictions that are found in the Bible. We're having more fun than a barrel of monkeys in Sunday school this morning. Number six, I'm not sad I decided to allow those older to be my leaders. Number six, I'm not sad that I decided to allow those older to be my leaders. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength. But the verse doesn't stop there. And the beauty of old man is the gray head. The determination that I made as a young man that I'm not depressed about as an older man. Number six, I'm not sad that I decided to allow those older than me to be my leaders. You know, youth has the power to kick the door that's locked down. But adulthood has the poise to find the spare key. I noticed during the opening time of Sunday school, I noticed Brother Leithley's gray hair. And I thought, man, if I had hair, I'd want to look like that. Mine on the sides looks like that. But you know what? I'm glad that when I was a young man, by the way, my favorite hymn in the hymn book is "When the Roll's Called Up Yonder, I'll Have Hair." That is my favorite hymn in the hymn book. But I'm glad when I was 17 and saved and called to preach, I'm glad that I immediately determined that I'd let those older than me be my leaders. It's interesting, Dr. Leithley, all my friends, when I was a young man, all of my friends were old enough to be my dad. Most of them were old enough to be my granddad. It wasn't until much later in life that I had friends my age. I'd see a conference, and I'd go to attend that conference, and I'd look, and I'd want to know, when are the gray heads preaching? I don't want to hear those my age. They were just as stupid as I was. There's nothing that they could help me with. I would look and I'd see who's the oldest preacher, who's been preaching the longest, who are the grizzled veterans, and those are the services I'd be on the front row. When it came to guys my age, they didn't know anything more than I knew. And looking back now, I'm not depressed. I am not mad. I am not discouraged that I decided to allow those that were older than me to be my leaders. And by the way, it's a good idea to be nice to old people. It's a good idea. Because one day you're going to be old. Hello. I was getting my breakfast this morning. Dear lady that made it in the motel, she was watching the weather. And the motel clerk asked her, she said, "What's the weather for today?" And the lady laughed and said, "Well, I can tell you right now, but 5 minutes from now, even though I watch the weather, I'll forget and not know what it is." Well, you better be kind to old people. You better be nice to old people. You better be respectful to old people, because all things being the same, one day it'll be you. Number seven, and last of all, not only I'm not sad I decided to get saved, number one, I'm not sad that I decided to join the right church, number two, I'm not sad that I decided to surrender to preach, number three, I'm not sad that I decided to date a godly girl, number four, I'm not sad I decided to make core convictions, number five, I'm not sad that I decided to allow those older to be my leaders, number six, and then number seven, and last of all, I'm not sad that I decided to seek the Spirit's fullness. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I will never be able to do the task until we have the touch. And I'm not sad, Dr. Leithley, that a long time ago, even as a young man, 17 years of age, now just on the cusp of 58. And by the way, if you're older than 58, please don't come to the book table and say, I got socks older than you, I've got suspenders older than you, I've got Confederate money older than you. You win, you're older. But at the cusp of 58, I am not sad that I decided to make the fullness of the Spirit the greatest goal of my Christian life. Look back at Daniel 1 and verse number 8. Seven decisions that I made as a young man that I'm not miserable about as an older man. Now, I'm not standing in this adult Sunday school class saying that I don't have any regrets. I'm not saying, maybe, Dr. Leithley, next time I come, I'll bring a lesson on seven decisions I made that I wish I hadn't made. There'd probably be 700. We'd just take the whole week and preach three a night. I'm not saying I didn't make some bad decisions. I'm not saying that every decision I made was the right decision, but I'm glad there's seven that I can look back on at 17 that I made, that at 58 nearly, I'm not sad about. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'll not give an invitation as such, but I wonder who might lift their hand and say, Preacher, in the very first service of our revival meeting, I mean right out the gate, service one, God has spoken to my heart. And I'm looking back at some of the decisions I made. And though, like you, I didn't always make right decisions. I didn't always make good decisions. But Preacher, I'm glad that there are a handful that whether they were made yesterday or many years ago, I'm glad that there's some decisions I made, like Daniel of old, that God has blessed and honored. You'd lift your hand all over the house. Seven decisions that I made as a young man that I'm not miserable about as an older man. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that if we've not made the decisions that I've laid out this morning, or if we've strayed from those decisions, Lord, I pray that we would return to them with a new excitement, with a new enthusiasm. May we return to them. Lord, may we remember the decisions that we made, that though they may be years ago, still influence and impact our lives. Bless, I pray, the morning preaching service. Thank you for your presence in Sunday school, which has been so rich and real. And thank you for these again, my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.